Growing up in Newark in the 1950s, Lonnie G. Bunch III didn't find too many books to read about black heroes and wondered why that was. His curiosity put him on the path to his future. He's the founding director of the Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History and Culture, and we talked earlier this morning about the ways history helps us understand our lives.
Well, for me, it was first going to the library and reading every historical biography of George Washington and the guy that invented the sewing machine and Clara Barton. And then one day I realized there was nobody black in those books.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I'd like to know a little bit about people that look like me. Suddenly I found a biography of Frederick Douglass. And I remember thinking, this is amazing. I'm not Frederick Douglass, but I can understand the sense of need for belonging, a sense of being something important. And so for me, history became a way, candidly, for me to understand my life. Because I grew up in an Italian town, very few black people. And I suddenly said, if I could understand a little bit more about history, maybe I'll understand why some people treat me wonderfully and others treat me horribly.
Which is, that's quite a trick, understanding that, because it's gone through so many layers of, you know, misunderstanding, whatever you want to call it, right?
And because I couldn't figure out, I thought maybe history might be the only way I could figure that out.
And then as you make that exploration of history, you find out that there are an awful lot of black heroes that nobody's bothered to write about.
And an awful lot of black heroes and white heroes who cross racial lines mm-hmm. to make America better. So for me, it was looking at those people who were brave enough to say, we want to demand America live up to its stated ideals.
Now, it's interesting that you bring that up, because white America is not crazy about bringing around the history of white Americans who cross those lines.
I think that's right. I think in many ways, the real challenge is for Americans to embrace a more complicated, nuanced history of some of the people who deserve to be remembered, but also some of the people who deserve to be called out.
Isn't that always the case, though, with history, you know?
Absolutely. I think that in some ways, the challenge is, how do we overcome the creation myths? And really wrestle with the sort of complexity and nuance of history.
Well, you know, it of course bears repeating that history is written by the victors. The reason it's written by the victors is what I'm interested in. And what do you think those reasons are?
Well, I think, first of all, part of it is that it's very easy to shape national identity around heroic moments, heroic stories. So for the victors who have a military experience or a political experience, it's easy to then say, this is why the country is great, because of people like us. And I think the challenge is to say, a country can be great even if it's not victorious, even if it's not always on the right side of history. That's the real challenge, is how people embrace the fact that this is a much more complicated history than we'd like to have.
I don't think you're going to find too many nations that don't have something to be ashamed of.
Oh, I think that's right. I think that for me, one of the most important things about museums around the world is that museums are really things that shape national identity. Sometimes they're created by the state to create maybe a false national identity. Mm-hmm. But my argument is that places like the Smithsonian, places like the Bishop Museum and others should be places that help people grapple with complexity and understand their identities in a way that isn't just driven by myths.
Now, that wasn't always the way museums were run. You didn't talk about lynchings. You didn't talk about the Holocaust in a museum.
Well, I think that my career has really paralleled the changes in museums, mm-hmm. right? Because I felt very strongly that a museum's, when I started, was all about celebration. It was all about how wonderful we were, whatever the we is. Mm-hmm. But now the notion is, how do we commemorate? How do we grapple with complexity? I think the best museums are museums that help people embrace ambiguity, rather than simply give simple answers to complex questions. Help people grapple with the gray and the sides that aren't as clear. That, I think, is really what a good museum can do.
You know, you and I were talking about the books that we read as kids. And the trouble with, I was remembering the Landmark book series that Doubleday put out, in which every episode in American history was a heroic one with white stars, from the Alamo to, you know, whatever, the Battle of Yorktown. And then in later life, I've had to relearn all those stories. And when you're told a story that's dressed up, and airbrushed, and then you find out there's a lot of falsehood in it, or that, you know, the ugly episodes have been airbrushed out, it breeds a kind of a distrust in everything you've been told, doesn't it?
Well, it really means that you've got to find real history rather than simply historical memory, mm-hmm. right? So I think the challenge is not to simply say everybody who was once good was bad, but rather to say if we can add more depth, more richness, if we can add the people who have been left out of history, we're all made better by that process.
Trouble with American history, and we've heard, you know, calls to make America great again, maybe wondering when we stopped. But at the same time, the greatness of America that an American might acknowledge has to be understood in terms of, you know, the oppression of Native Americans, slavery, lynchings, an awfully ugly history. How do you tread that balance and still present America as a great nation at the Smithsonian?
I mean, I think that you do have to find that tension. That's the word you want to find, the tension between moments of greatness and moments of sadness. And I would argue that the American public is ready to understand a little more about its history. I've always argued that the best way to understand America is a work in progress. Right, that there are these moments that America didn't live up to its ideals. These are moments where Native people, there's genocide, where African Americans are enslaved and lynched. But on the other hand, it is some of those very same people who suffer so much who believe in an America that didn't believe in them, who find ways to say, let us live up to the stated ideals of the country. And I would argue in many ways that we have been made better by the people who have protested America. For me, protest in some ways may be the highest form of patriotism.
Well, it was founded on protest.
A little revolution every now and then is good.
You know, John Brown's body in the Civil War, right?
I think that it's really important to realize that change comes not without loss, that there's great difficulty to effect change, but that ultimately, as a country in progress, if you can confront your past and recognize you still have ways to go, rather than say you're already there at the promised land, then I think you become a great nation.
What would it take in terms of our understanding of our history for us to get the rest of the way? What would you like to see happen?
I think, first of all, it's really understanding history, right? It's really say, you know, Americans often are ahistorical. And so to really craft places that allow the public to understand complexity around Confederate monuments, for example, so that I'm a firm believer in education. And if you can convey the complexity, the accuracy of history, then there's always a hope for change.
You know, when that Confederate monument issue came up, I thought of the statue, the golden statue of William Tecumseh Sherman right by the Plaza Hotel, mm-hmm. now the Trump Plaza in New York. And I thought, are we going to pretend that Robert E. Lee didn't exist? You know, where would that end? Find me a general who didn't kill people, right?
I think the most important thing is you don't ever want to erase history, mm-hmm. right? But you want to understand, for example, that people like Robert E. Lee and the Confederacy, they lost the war, but they won the peace. And so I think it's very interesting to look at these statues for what they really are, which tell us less about a civil war and more about an uncivil peace.
But the years that followed.
Exactly. So in the 1890s and early 20th century, these statues are ways for people to create myths and counter the struggle for fairness and equality in so many places.
Robert E. Lee's descendants said, fine, take him off the public street, put him in a museum.
I've always felt that, one, you should never take down all statues, but you should contextualize them, whether it's in museums or in parks. I mean, I've been really struck. There's a park in Budapest that basically took all the Soviet-era statues, and now they're contextualized. You understand what they meant, what they said about you at a particular point in your history. I think it's really important to understand what these statues really meant.
Dr. Lonnie G. Bunch III is the founding director of the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture. He will offer the lecture Educating a Nation, the Challenge of Building a National Museum, tomorrow night at 6 p.m. in the University of Hawaii at Manoa Art Auditorium.